Yes, we're turning to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Guess what we're going to do this morning? We're going to wrap up another Christmas. We're going to wrap it up. Amen. We're going to wrap up another Christmas from Matthew chapter 2 this morning. We'll be looking at verses, well, the whole chapter actually, and we'll take it as we come in the message. We'll have some introductory material and then get into verse number 1 and take it verse by verse and see what God has for us here this morning. Let us pray and ask God's help and direction as we begin. Father, thank you for your blessing here already this morning. You have given us a great service, a great meeting in between, and now we're beseeching your face for another great service right now. We need your help. And we want to glorify Christ here today. I want to do that. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I trust and depend in you. I am not trusting and depending in this flesh that I live in, but I'm looking to you. We want to hear from our God today, and we ask that you would do that as we trust and depend in you this morning. Bless this scripture to our hearts. Build us with it. Make us a blessing in this world, in this community, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We ask, Lord, that you'll do that more than ever before in the coming days, weeks, and months as we seek to serve you. We're trusting. We love you, Father. And we're asking now for a great time in the Word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people look at this time of the year and it is their favorite time of the year. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. And it's not because it's presents anymore. I'm old. That stuff is all by the wayside now. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the excitement of His birth. And I love it. And one of our people said in the first service, Resurrection Sunday is my favorite time of the year. So I guess I can't argue with that. We'll take it all. We got to have the birth, right? We got to have the birth. We got to have the death. And we have to have the resurrection. And it has all taken place. And here we are today, worshiping our awesome God this morning. And so as we drive around, and I don't know if you drove around at all looking at lights in the evening, but my wife and I spent 2 evenings doing that for like an hour, hour and a half. And we actually did it Christmas night. And that was a lot of fun. It was cold out there, but we were in a nice, warm, old 04 van. And that puppy has a good heater. And so we were nice and warm and driving around looking at all of the wonderful lights that are out there. Have you noticed that there are more lights this year than ever before? Have you noticed that? No? Ah, got a couple of people who are alive this morning? Okay. Well, good. Well, I got on the internet and I started to dig around because I wanted to see if I'm thinking straight. So I got on there and yes, yes, people were out buying Christmas lights and decorations earlier than ever before and more than ever before. I mean, I walked through Walmart not too long ago and just to see what was left, and I'm telling you what, the people gobbled up those lights, let me tell you. And they are out there. It is beautiful. I love it. And I told my wife, I'm going to let the timer out there and let those lights on till they burn out. And last year, I had them on, and the time came that I turned them off, but I never took them off the house. And so in around September, I tested them. And half of them were burned out. So when Melissa came in October to take care of her mom, we replaced them. I went to Walmart early, like lots of people, and got my lights, and they're still burning today, so praise the Lord on that. But it's been wonderful to go around and see that, see the beautiful lights. I started my life, see the lights, my first sentence, see the lights, and I love it. And what also is nice out there is there are nativities all over the place. So many people have nativities in their yards. They're lit up all kinds, sizes, shapes, and thank God they're there. They're having an influence. We were down at my wife's sister's house a number of years ago now, and on the way into their house, on the right-hand side is a great big church. And on the front lawn, they had a great big birthday cake. It said, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." That was pretty good. That was real good. So we saw that. You could not go by there and miss it. I mean, it's the biggest cake I have ever seen. It was beautiful. And so we have wonderful events at Christmas. We have Handel's Messiah. We have all kinds of caroling events. I guess a lot of them are shut down a lot this year. But we've been enjoying that. What would Christmas be without our Christmas carols? You know what? Even Hallmark movies are full of our carols. How do you like that? Wonderful. Good. And they all have the same plot and they all end well. It's wonderful. You know, if it wasn't for Christmas, I wonder if some families would ever get together. It seems like it's a glue that brings the families together. I kid you not. I know people that Christmas is it. It's the only time they ever see people they're related to. And so that's a good thing. They get together. Well, we're going to wrap up another Christmas season this morning. And we want to look at some final thoughts here about our wonderful Savior and His birth. So let us look at, we're in Matthew chapter 2. And we have the wonderful account, true account here of the wise men and the events surrounding them and their journey and that horrible, wicked King Herod and wonderful things that happened during this time. God showed His power and His might in the Christmas story. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, a prophecy fulfilled after prophecy fulfilled after prophecy fulfilled. Verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Big events coming to town. Nobody knew it was coming, but it came. Here is the little town of Bethlehem. That's how the carol states it. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. This verse fulfills the prophecy of Micah 5:2, given some 700 years previously. It came to pass. Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, not far away, not far. And it's hard, you know, it's hard not to conceive that the wise men would naturally think they need to go to Jerusalem to find this king that has been born. It would be natural. We would think that they would do that. Verse number 2. So here comes the wise men saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men are intriguing individuals. I love the story of the wise men. However, we do not have a whole lot of concrete facts about them. There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of guesswork. I've been looking it up this week. But they can't say, this is the way it is. This is exactly where they came from or any of that. But here they are. They've come to town. They've got amazing faith. We know that. If you're going to pack up your bags and get a group together and get all the camels out there and load them up and get some hired soldiers and helpers and go on a who knows how many mile trip, it's going to take you over a year to get there, you better understand they had faith. They saw that star and they knew what it was. They weren't a bunch of dumbos. And these wise men have roots that go back generations to the man we're studying on Sunday nights, Daniel. Daniel was the head of these people. He taught these people. They were under him. They were not guessing here. They knew the Hebrew Scriptures. The things we know for sure about them are good things. And so now they have traveled over a year to worship the newborn king. This kind of faith is absolutely phenomenal. Let's look at verses 3 through 12. Now we get into Herod, what he's up to. When Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now let's just take a... I'm going to tell you some news up front in this message, this go around. Herod's 70 years old here. He's 70 years old, okay? And he heard these things, and he was troubled. Now, and all Jerusalem with him. They were all troubled, but Herod, he's not happy. What do you mean there's another king coming in here? I'm the king. So back of his mind, his wheels are already spinning because he is a wicked mob boss and leader. Terrible guy. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he pulls in the chief priests, the scribes, and these scribes, I want to key on them. They are the protectors and the writers and the copiers of the Scriptures. And if anybody's going to know anything about this, it's going to be them. Right? It's going to be them. They're copying. They're reading. They're studying. And they're teaching on the side. And he demands where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Oh! More fulfilled prophecy. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men behind the closed door, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He's, and his men are there taking the notes. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar, liar. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them. This is God's supernatural star. It went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Again, we see the hand, the power, the miraculous workings of God all over this Christmas story. So here we have Herod now. He considers himself the king of the Jews. He's not a Jew. He's an Edomite. He's a proselyte. He's not a Jew. But somehow he got there. Isn't that interesting? That kind of stuff still goes on. So we have this large caravan arriving from a place not conquered by Rome, but a land pounding at the edges of Rome, though. After all, Persia might throw their support behind this new king. Can't have that. So there's many things that Herod is concerned about, worried about. What kind of guy was Herod? Wicked, cruel. He was called Herod the Great. He was a cruel murderer. He ruled 37 years, Jesus being born in his 35th year. So we know from, to look back now, he was almost done, right? Because in 2 years, God is going to take him out. And I mean, it's going to be a big takeout. So, it's the 31st year of the Emperor Caesar Augustus. And so Herod's doing all these calculations. He's trying to figure all this out and when this star first appeared, because I've got some evil plans I'm making here. I'm going to have to do something about this king. I'm going to have to take care of that. So the Edomite, the proselyte, very deceitful, very wicked. Josephus records tragedy after tragedy under the rulership of this Herod. Great in sin, great in cruelty, but he had the favor of Caesar Augustus. Why? Because he knew, because of the way Herod was, I'm not going to have to worry about anybody being kept in their place over there where Herod is. He's doing a good job of that. Okay? So, there's a rival coming to my throne, Herod says. And this Jewish nation might rally around him. This news is troubling indeed. Very troubling. Verse number 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know what's really neat about Scripture? Scripture packs so much into one verse. I mean, this verse right here is just packed with things going on. And so the events of our story are moving along and they are continuing to fulfill prophecy stated 700 years ago and other years ago. And here's another interesting fact about this one night. It is possible, even probable, that the wise men arrived, worshipped, presented their gifts, departed, Joseph being warned by God, and he gathers up his family and heads to Egypt all in the same night. You know, it's interesting how God works. I mean, sometimes God just gets on it and boom, here we go. Let's go right now. Let's get this done. Kind of, I like that. So, Egypt, the nearest province to Herod's territory where you can get away, get outside of his jurisdiction. Egypt is the home of thousands of Joseph's relatives, fellow comrades, fellow Israelites. Convenient place to go, a convenient place to return from when God said, and God already told him, now you go down there and I'll tell you when to come back. All right. I like those kind of plans. Wouldn't you like God to tell you that? Now you just go over here and you do this and just wait for my next instruction. Just go there and do it. Wouldn't you like? I'd love that. I would love that. And that's what happened here. Verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child. We see this over and over. The young child. The young child. Not the baby, not the baby, not the manger, the young child in the house. Right? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Again, Joseph's getting used to this. The message comes while he's asleep. He got that message way back before he took Mary as his wife. Well, it wasn't that far back, was it? But Joseph's understanding God and his program. So the message comes while he's sleeping. He gets up. He takes Jesus, he gets Mary, and they're out of town. They're going, leaving. There was prompt obedience to the divine plan. We need to do that as believers today. Prompt obedience to God's plan. Joseph never, ever struggled with doing the will of God. They just received some gold. Well, that's going to be handy for this trip. I mean, God already knew, I'm sending them on a trip. These people are poorer than poor. I'll just give them a bag of gold. That'll take care of them. They'll get down there. They'll get back. Everything's going to be fine. See, that's how God works. And so the gold they just received defrays the expense of the journey. We see God working every little detail out in their lives, and He'll do that for all of us too. If we'll trust and obey, He will do that for us as well. Verse number 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. There it is again. Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Where did that come from? Hosea 11:1. That's where it came from. Where the context clearly indicates that it was the whole nation of Israel which had been called out of Egypt as God's young son. The children of Israel had been born in the land of promise. God said had to get them out of there for a while. Down to Egypt they went. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Down they had to go. Sojourn in that pagan land before being brought back into the land of promise. And Christ, the Lord Jesus, He lives the same scenario. He is born in Bethlehem. He sojourned in Egypt. He was called back to Israel. Herod's death is not long in coming after he slaughters all the little boys 2 years old and younger, and Herod is going to die a miserable, horrible death. Verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, good, was exceeding wroth. He went wild, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. I saw one of the Bible films, movies, some time ago that showed this vividly on the... I'll tell you what, that is horrible and wicked. Now, even to visualize the soldiers coming on their horses, swords in hand, going into every house, every tent, any little baby boy, they're dead. Wow. Herod, wicked to the core. Herod feels sure, I'll get rid of this king of the Jews. You know, Herod, it's also recorded, he executed one of his wives publicly. He had his three oldest sons executed. This guy was paranoid too. This demonstrates his vicious cruelty. Several of even the more insignificant writers of the day recorded this wicked deed of killing these little boys. Augustus from Rome said this. He said it was better to be Herod's sow than to be his son, for the sow had a better chance of life. You think that they're not taking notes back in Rome? They knew exactly what's going on all over their empire. Verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled, there it is again, that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, died in Bethlehem. And thus the grieving mothers of Bethlehem's slaughter were all personified in her name. Rachel's children. Rachel was the mother of Benjamin, whose descendants were still associated with the town of Bethlehem. A lot of history there. Jeremiah also states that in the next verse in Jeremiah 31, that the slain children are safe with the Lord. Evidently, the Jewish people did a very good job of passing their history down generation to generation to generation. Ramah, small town near Bethlehem. Rachel's tomb is right there. Nebuchadnezzar's generals gathered and collected Jewish captives right there after the fall of Jerusalem. All of these bad things are pulled together in just one verse. Verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Here we go. Joseph's waiting for the call. Herod had died a horrible death. His disease was so bad, the stench was so bad, that the people who waited on Herod could not stand and they would not get close to him. Must have been horrible. This is one time when God dealt with a wicked man with unbelievable suffering and took him out fast. This guy was wicked, and God lowered the boom on him, and it was quick, and he was done, but he suffered real well on his way out the door. Verses 20 and 21, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Again, obedience right away. No messing around. We see the continued obedience of this great man, Joseph. He follows God's plan to a T. When God spoke to Joseph, said, here's what I want you to do. Done. I want you to do this now. I want you to do this. Every time. He did it. Now, this family has been through quite an exciting series of events. I mean, they're living a wild Christian life, as many Christians do. Joseph is a man of spiritual and mental maturity, and he works and he patiently follows God's direction. Verse number 22. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee. Oh. Archelaus had his daddy's genes. He was a bum. He was cruel. He was wicked. And Joseph says, I don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. God knows this. God's taking notes. But another one of Herod's sons, Herod Antipas, was a man who got his mommy's genes, and he was more mild and easier to get along with. He wasn't a nutcase like his brother Archelaus. And so he was governing over Galilee. God says, go there. Go over there. Now look at verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. How do you like that? You see, God has a way. When God says this is going to happen, he makes it happen. There's only, you know, God made it happen. He brought in this wicked son of Herod, and he's ruling here, and so Joseph doesn't want to go there, and so he goes over to the place where God says, yeah, he's going to be called a Nazarene. They're going to go to the Nazareth. They're going to get to Nazareth. That's where they're going to live. Hey, this right here, this chapter, is a confidence and a faith builder. You just see it. God said it. It happened. God made the way. He planned it out. He took care of his people. And so Joseph turns to Nazareth, an obscure place where he and his family would be safe. Again, we see the events falling in line with the prophecy of God, the prophecy of the Bible uttered hundreds of years before. We don't get to find out much about the Lord Jesus in his young and early life. We know the story of 12 years old, separated from the family, stays in Jerusalem, got at least six other kids here we're worried about. Jesus is a man. You don't have to worry about him. Right? Our children need to get a hold of this story. 12 years old, the Lord Jesus, and what is he? Vitally interested in the things of God. And the sooner our children are interested in the things of God, the better off they are going to be. The farther ahead they're going to be in their spiritual lives. So Jesus, at 12, vitally interested in the things of God. And Luke chapter 2, 52 says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's about all you need to know right there. That's it. Our children, if that can be said of our kids, that's all you need to know. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his plan. Thank God for what can be if we follow his directions. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the great story, the great account of Christmas. We've looked at the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew presents Jesus as the King. And indeed he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you today. We ask that you would empower us and guide us and direct our footsteps. And may we be willing, like Joseph, to follow your leading. Follow it to a T. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.